Tonight, breaking news, former President Trump under oath. Donald Trump questioned for more than 6 hours by New York Attorney General Letitia James and her team. The former president invoking the Fifth. Today's deposition in a separate case, coming 48 hours after the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. That search, part of a separate federal investigation. And we have new reporting on that search tonight. What FBI Director Christopher Wray, who signed off on the raid and who was appointed by former President Trump, what he said today. Jonathan Carl with new reporting here and Dan Abrams tonight on what this all means. Also tonight, the dangerous and deadly storms as we come on the air. We have learned tonight of two U.S. Army soldiers killed in a weather-related incident. And tonight, several states now under flood alerts, flood warnings in Washington, D.C. Rob Marciano tracking it all. The American economy and the prices you're paying for everything. Tonight, the new and encouraging signs, the slight improvement on inflation. Combine that with falling gas prices and what economists tonight are now cautiously saying. We have new reporting here after the fiery crash landing on a California freeway, the plane making that emergency landing, hitting a truck, bursting into flames. How the pilot survived this, trying to save lives as he came down. The alleged murder-for-hire plot tonight, an Iranian national charged in an alleged plot to assassinate former Trump NSA advisor John Bolton. That suspect still at large, the U.S. tonight sending a blistering warning to Iran. The war in Ukraine tonight and G7 leaders now demanding Russia turn the largest nuclear power plant in Europe back over to the Ukrainians. And tonight, Ukraine claiming it destroyed 9 Russian warplanes in that Crimea blast. Back here at home tonight, authorities releasing new surveillance of that missing 16-year-old girl, the image believed to be the last known image of her before she disappeared. Also, the images coming in at this hour, the deadly house explosion, at least 3 people killed, but authorities are now saying. The major victory for veterans tonight, many gathered along with John Stewart at the White House today. And America strong. Last night it was the hug on the field. Tonight, it's the grandfather and the ball field.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with former President Trump under oath. 6 hours of questioning from the New York Attorney General and her team. The former president invoking the Fifth today, all part of the New York Attorney General's civil investigation into the Trump family business. We are learning new details from inside that room tonight. The first images this morning, the former president as he left Trump Tower. A short time after arriving at the Attorney General's office in Lower Manhattan, his office releasing a statement declaring his intent in this deposition, saying he had no choice but to invoke the Fifth after long criticizing people who have invoked the Fifth before. The former president pointing to the FBI search of his home at Mar-a-Lago 48 hours ago, quote, wiping out any uncertainty, he said. Again, these investigations are completely separate. Tonight, with pressure mounting on authorities to reveal something about what they were looking for at Mar-a-Lago in that unprecedented search, tonight, FBI Director Christopher Wray, appointed by former President Trump himself, what the FBI director said today. But first, those new details from inside this deposition, the former president under oath. Dan Abrams is here tonight. Our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl, leading us off.
How do you feel, Mr. Trump? How do you feel?
Donald Trump today became the first president in American history to take the Fifth. Appearing before New York's attorney general for a sworn deposition, Trump declined to answer questions, citing his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Sources say the former president only answered a single question, what is your name? And that he began with an opening statement accusing the New York Attorney General of being politically biased. The questioning, which went on for 6 hours and was videotaped, was in a civil case accusing the Trump family business of misrepresenting the values of its properties. For years, Donald Trump has railed against political opponents who take the Fifth as a sure sign of guilt.
You see, the mob takes the Fifth. If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
In a statement today, Trump conceded he has changed his mind about the Fifth. He claimed he had no choice, adding, if there was any question in my mind, the raid of my home, Mar-a-Lago, on Monday by the FBI, just 2 days prior to this deposition, wiped out any uncertainty. The Mar-a-Lago raid had nothing to do with today's deposition. Law enforcement sources say the FBI search of his Palm Beach home was related to documents, some of them classified, that Trump allegedly took improperly from the White House. The Biden White House says it had nothing to do with the decision to search Mar-a-Lago. and that all decisions on investigations are handled independently by the Justice Department. President Biden declined to comment on any of it.
What do you say to Americans who think this is a politically motivated search of Mar-a-Lago?
Are you confident DOJ will be fair?
At a public event today in Omaha, FBI Director for Christopher Wray, who was appointed by President Trump, was asked for details on the search and whether he is concerned about possible threats to agents from Trump's supporters.
That's not something that I can talk about, so I'd refer you to the department. As to the issue of threats, I will say that I'm always concerned about violence and threats of violence against law enforcement.
But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, after initially declining to comment, is demanding an explanation, saying, quote, Attorney General Garland and the Department of Justice should already have provided answers to the American people and must do so immediately. The Justice Department is standing by the long-standing practice of not commenting on current investigations. Trump himself could reveal the details of the search. One of his lawyers says they have a copy of the search warrant as used by the FBI, a warrant that would include the reasons for the search as well as a list of items taken by the agents. But he has declined to make them public.
And so let's get right back to John Carl again tonight from Washington. John, you first reported last night here former President Trump has the search warrant, which could, of course, reveal a lot more here if he wanted to share with the public. Tonight, you've also reported here that federal agents are usually required to leave a list of items taken. So the former president presumably has a lot of information he could release, given there are so many questions and so much pressure on authorities to reveal what they were looking for here.
Yeah, there are actually two documents here. There's the warrant itself, which provides some reason, justification for the search, what they are looking for. And then once the search is completed, added to that is an inventory of the items that have been taken during the search. And that is left with whoever was searched, usually right after the search is completed. And there is absolutely nothing preventing Donald Trump from releasing all of that right now.
All right, John Carl leading us off here tonight. John, thank you. I want to get right to our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams, back with us tonight. And Dan, two key questions for you. You saw Christopher Wray today, the FBI director, appointed by former President Trump, signaling he's simply not going to go there during this investigation. For our viewers at home who remember then FBI Director James Comey going before the cameras, help explain why we're not going to hear now from Christopher Wray.
James Comey got in a lot of trouble for making those comments. A lot of people said that it hurt Hillary Clinton's campaign, but most importantly, it's because there were no charges filed. And typically, the Department of Justice policy is you don't talk about a case during the investigation, and you don't talk about a case if there are no charges filed. You only talk about a case in legal filings. You only talk about a case if there are charges filed. And that's why I think it's unlikely that we'll hear from DOJ here.
In the meantime, we heard John Carl report on the search warrant that the former president has this in hand. He could reveal it to the public if he wanted to answer some of these questions. We both know that's very unlikely here. So how and when could we learn more about what they were in fact searching for at Mar-a-Lago?
That warrant could leak, but that would have limited information anyway. The key is an affidavit that was filed with the court. They had to show probable cause that a crime was committed and they could find evidence at the house. That affidavit is where all the information lies. And the media or someone else could make a motion to make that public, but I think it's unlikely that a court would grant it.
All right, we could be waiting for some time here. Dan Abrams and John Carl tonight, our thanks to you both. In the meantime, we turn to the other major headline this Wednesday night, that new report showing inflation has eased slightly, falling back from its 40-year high. It's slight, but welcome news. Consumer prices in July were 8.7% higher than a year ago. In June, that number was 9.1%. But prices for food and rent remain stubbornly high, and millions of Americans are struggling to make ends meet. ABC's Victor Akendo in Miami tonight.
Tonight, that promising sign from the government on the state of the American economy. Inflation, which had been at a 40-year high for much of this year, appears to be slowing down from 9.1% in June to 8.5% for July compared to a year ago. President Biden today reacting to the first positive news on inflation in months.
But it's far from done in our effort to bring inflation down, but we're moving in the right direction.
Leading the downward push in prices, gasoline. After an all-time high average price of more than $5 in June, the national average, now $4.01 a gallon.
Even though it's gone down, and I appreciate that, it's still unreasonable.
While gas is coming down, food is still soaring. Year over year, it's up more than 13%. the largest increase since May of 1979. The typical American household now paying about $460 more a month for the same goods and services than this time last year.
Just for context, the average American household makes about $65,000 a year. So that's a very significant hit to income.
Phyllis Thomas in Miami works the night shift and is taking care of two grandchildren. The school year is starting soon. They need supplies and uniforms.
How difficult is it to get the kids ready for school when you also have all your other expenses on the rise as well?
When you trying to juggle home and bills and stuff, you just got to it's no way you can balance all of it at the same time.
Phyllis, like so many, relying on the Children's Trust. Today, giving out school supplies for free.
And economists tell us that while inflation is still historically high, the worst of it might be behind us, especially with these falling gas prices. We're just not quite in the clear yet. David?
No question about that. We'll be watching this for months to come. Victor, thank you. We turn next tonight to the deadly storms today, killing two soldiers, and more dangerous weather on tap for tonight. Real flood concerns across several states at this hour. Tonight in Georgia, those two soldiers were from Fort Benning. We have learned they died. Three others were injured in a weather-related event during ranger training in the mountains. It's the second deadly incident involving the weather for the Army in Georgia in just 3 weeks. You'll remember an Army reservist was killed, nine others injured by lightning weeks ago. And then ahead tonight, 12 states now under flood alerts from Nevada to Maryland. Chattanooga, Tennessee, the image is right here. They got more than an inch of rain in a short amount of time. Richmond, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., all bracing tonight. Meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking this again for us. Hey, Rob.
Hey, David. You know, D.C. has really gotten clobbered. Over 2 inches of rain there, falling in just over an hour. Flash flood warning remains up for the next couple of hours, but also Alexandria, Richmond, as you mentioned, and the southeast corner of Virginia and Virginia Beach and Newport News. The radar showing it's still active there, and that frontal boundary is going to remain active tonight. So flash flood watches remain up for eastern Kentucky. It does sag to the south a little bit tomorrow, hopefully weakening, but the monsoon is just as strong as ever with that flow out of the south, so moisture continues to be a problem there. Flash flood watches for Vegas and some of the surrounding areas could see 2 to 4, maybe 5 inches in spots over the next 5 days. And when it comes all at once. David.
All right. Rob Marciano with us. Rob, thank you as always. We do have new reporting here tonight after that fiery crash landing on a California freeway. The plane coming down right in the middle of moving traffic right here, slamming into the road, spinning around, igniting a fireball. Unbelievably, no one was hurt here. How the pilot survived this while he was trying to save lives as the plane was coming down. ABC's Will Carr tonight.
Tonight, dash cam video capturing this explosive moment on a busy highway in Southern California.
Oh, plane crash!
A single-engine Piper Cherokee with two people on board forced to make an emergency landing on the 91 freeway Tuesday.
Respond to an aircraft emergency on the freeway eastbound.
Video shows the plane crashing to the ground, narrowly missing several cars, hitting a pickup truck with three people inside. The small aircraft then erupting into a fireball.
Is he out of there?
Yeah, he's out.
Firefighters quickly putting out the blaze. Amazingly, the passengers in both the plane and the truck all escaping unharmed.
Absolutely very fortunate today. The traffic was light and the pilot appears to have made some good landing navigation that avoided very bad tragedy, what could have been a very bad tragedy.
Tonight, the pilot of that plane says he is ecstatic to still be alive. It comes as the cause of that engine failure is under investigation. David.
Will Carr live in Los Angeles County. Will, thank you. We turn next here to the U.S. warning to Iran tonight after an alleged murder-for-hire plot. Tonight, an Iranian national charged in the alleged plot to assassinate former Trump NSA advisor John Bolton. The suspect is still at large. ABC's Rachel Scott on the case and the warning now from the U.S.
Tonight, the Department of Justice revealing an alleged murder-for-hire plot to kill one of the nation's former top security officials, John Bolton.
We were able to detect this heinous plot and disrupt it.
Officials say this man, 45-year-old Iranian operative Shahram Persafi, offered $300,000 to assassinate Bolton in retaliation for the killing of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani in 2020.
We face a rising threat from authoritarian regimes who seek to reach beyond their own borders to commit acts of repression, including inside the United States.
Persafi is wanted by the FBI. Officials believe he was acting on behalf of the Revolutionary Guard, releasing this photo of him in fatigues with posters of Iran and Soleimani in the background. Court documents detailed the scheme. In November 2021, Persaffi sent encrypted messages over social media to an FBI informant calling for Bolton to be eliminated. Today, Bolton says the plot underscores the threat of Iran.
This is a murderous, lying regime. It's an enemy of the United States, and we need to treat it that way.
Persaffi remains at large abroad. If captured and convicted, he faces up to 25 years in prison. And just moments ago, Iran responded to these allegations, calling them baseless, David.
Rachel Scott with us from Washington. Rachel, thank you. Tonight, a major victory for so many veterans in this country and their health care. In Washington today, President Biden signing a new law extending benefits to troops exposed to toxic burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. John Stewart, who just weeks ago called out Republicans for standing in the way, getting a standing ovation for helping to get this over the finish line. Here's Mary Bruce.
President Biden today signing legislation to expand health care and other benefits for millions of veterans suffering from the effects of toxic burn pits.
I was going to get this done come hell or high water.
For Biden, this is a personal win, too. The president today linking his son Beau's fatal brain cancer to his exposure to burn pits in Iraq. Because of this bill, veterans diagnosed with certain respiratory illnesses or cancers will no longer have to prove they got sick from burn pits to receive care. It also provides compensation for survivors. Biden today consoling some of those families, like 9-year-old Brielle Robinson. The bill named after her father, Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson, who died of cancer 2 years ago. Biden noting Brielle was sitting next to Beau's son, Hunter.
That's my grandson. His daddy lost to the same burn pits, and he knows what you're going through.
But it took years to get to this moment, and it almost didn't happen. Just 2 weeks ago, we reported on comedian Jon Stewart in front of the Capitol blasting Senate Republicans who were fighting the bill.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a situation where people who have already given so much had to fight so hard to get so little.
And we owe you big, man. We owe you big.
Stewart today getting a standing ovation. He kept up the pressure until Congress finally passed the bill last week, a bipartisan victory.
The president is now speeding up the bill's timeline so that this expanded eligibility and care is available now. As of tonight, the president is urging veterans to file these claims so they can get the overdue care they so badly need. David.
Mary Bruce live there in the briefing room tonight. Mary, thank you. Now to the war in Ukraine. And tonight, Ukrainian authorities are now claiming 9 Russian warplanes were destroyed in those explosions at a Russian airbase in Crimea. The airfield reportedly no longer operational, a source confirming Ukraine was behind that attack. All of this comes amid growing alarm over the fate of Europe's largest nuclear plant, of course, inside Ukraine. G7 leaders tonight demanding that Russia turn it back over to the Ukrainians. When we come back on this busy Wednesday night, the images coming in now, the deadly house explosion. Authorities now say at least 3 people killed. The images in a moment. And then news tonight in the search for that missing 16-year-old girl, the last known image before she disappeared.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our 2 interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, emergency crews are on the scene of that deadly house explosion in Evansville, Indiana. Authorities say at least three people were killed. 39 homes damaged in that neighborhood, now covered in debris. First responders searching for other victims at this hour. Some houses are too unstable to enter. Of course, the cause of the explosion is still under investigation at this hour. To the index, and tonight, authorities have released that last known image of that missing 16-year-old girl shortly before she vanished in Placer County, California, near Lake Tahoe. Surveillance shows Kylie Rodney at a store hours before she disappeared from that party. Her mother says her daughter texted, telling her she was heading home soon. No one has reported seeing her leave. Her car is missing, her cell phone not in service, and untraceable. Finally tonight here, after the hug on the Little League field last night here, I guess you could call this our new series, Life Lessons from the Little Leaguers. Tonight in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 9-year-old Felix Carrier just had the best baseball game of his young career. Felix playing ball since he was 4, his grandfather Bruce, Papa, teaching him, going to every game.
Whoa!
And of course, Papa Bruce was there when Felix hit his very first home run, and then a grand slam. Felix, after the game, holding the baseballs, signing them, and of course, you can guess who he was about to give them to.
I signed the ball for you.
Okay.
And it says, Papa, I love you.
Why did you do that?
Because you've taught me everything about baseball.
Oh, honey, honey, that was so sweet. I'll put it right on my, oh, God, that was so good. Wow, honey. Woo!
And right here tonight.
Hi, David.
Felix and Papa Bruce.
He signed a ball, and it says, Papa, I love you. Well, I was surprised, happy, and so proud.
And that 9-year-old grandson in the third grade on why he did it.
He always cheers me on. And he's like my best friend, so.
Wow.
Pretty incredible. Papa, we love you too. And Felix, you too. I'll see you right back here tomorrow night from all of us here. Have a good evening. Good night.